10 on a 10 scale. We could even turn it up to 11, I think.
It was so much fun.
Foo Fighters sold out last night at Toad's Place. Just before we get too deep into it, I just want to let you know, if you're listening in Waterbury, there's a water main break, pretty big one, and all public schools are closed today, so yay.
Yay.
Yay. Brian Blackmore here.
Good morning.
I think you need to hit the button on your mic.
Oh, my mic was muted.
How's it going?
Good. Good. If you
the
were,
red light was on.
If you were at Toad's last night, Cole, I just want to hear, why are you up and what are you going to be responsible for today? We're responsible for a radio show. No one's getting hurt with this thing. If this thing goes off course, everyone's still fine. I'm just wondering, do we have any truck drivers out there who are at the, or you know, doctors and... When the place was packed, it was really something else. The band went on right at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And they are a machine. They are ready for their stadium tour. They are completely in sync, like a well-made clock.
You could see they were all having a great time.
The videos were nuts, too. Like, the videos looked excellent.
Those three guitars, those are assault weapons. I haven't seen anything like that since like Lynyrd Skynyrd. You know, those three guitars, bass, keys, and a drummer with Taylor Hawkins energy. Small, tiny kit, but you wouldn't know it, that thing, man. He was pounding the S out of it.
I don't know how his neck is working today.
Yeah.
His head was going the whole time. I know... We've made the correlation before. He looks like Animal from the Muppets when he's playing. His hair's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just sticks and hair. That's all you see.
Yeah. He's a way better fit. No offense to the last guy, but way better fit. And Dave Grohl has not lost a step with his playing, his singing, or as you heard, that trademark scream.
Oh, my God.
I actually thought Toads was going to fall down a couple times when he was doing that scream. I'm like, wow.
I think at one point during the very opening song of the night, I'm looking around. I'm like, this is how he's starting. I'm like, we're screaming right out of the gate.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no warm-up.
No.
Like, here, let me do a couple songs, get my voice warmed up.
No.
He came right out and started screaming. 27 song set. It annihilated the audience. They were happy to be annihilated.
They were pleading for more.
It was one song after another. Little talking in between to make it personal, but it was punch, 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 punch.
All hits.
A couple new ones in there, and I like them. I like them a lot.
Like, they were
instantly catchy.
Yeah.
So most of the longer breaks between songs were them just switching out guitars. And I saw a real interesting from stage right. Interesting little tidbit with them. And if you're a musician, you know all this already. So, you know. I'm not a musician, but I saw they had the text over on the side. They had the set list, and the set list is designed in keys. So it's like, okay, these songs are in this key, these songs are in this key, and they got their little workstations there. And so they get the guitars, and now, you know, you don't have to go ning, 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 and listen. Remember, like back in the day before they had electronic tuning, you'd be at a concert and they'd give them a new guitar. It's ding, 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 dong, dong, dong.
Just the tuning pegs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That every song.
Yeah.
You know, like, bing, 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 bing,
bring, bing, bring it back. Bring it back. I'm ready to hear it again.
It's like, the, you know, you got the show going.
Yeah.
I got a broken string. All right, hold on. They have the electronic tuning now. You just plug it in. It tells you where you are. And I see these guys. They're over there. Ding, 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 ding. We don't hear it. They're getting the guitars ready, and then they're going to change key for the next, you know, four songs.
Throw them the blue guitar.
Yeah, they bring them. Yeah.
Yep.
So cool. That band is a well-oiled machine, and that all of the people around them, that army of people around them, are a well-oiled rock and roll machine. It was just so well done. It's so impressive. There were no dopes running around like, oh, we're just capable. Like, they were completely together. And then all of the recording equipment that they had there, There were cameras pointed in every direction, mics pointed in every direction. Don't be surprised if there's not a documentary on this tour,
and they
we're in it.
And they were easy to miss, even. Like, the way that they had them set up, it's just like, yeah, they're there. We're not acknowledging it. They're not pointing to it. They're not telling you. And then all of a sudden, you're looking around. The lights come on. You're like, oh, there's a bunch of stuff going on over here.
A lot of cameras.
Yeah.
A lot of microphones. And that wasn't just for their social media.
No way.
That'll be in a documentary or something. No one went to the show last night. No one. No one is up right now. We're the only ones up who went. Yeah. We're the only dopes. Jesus.
Maybe they just can't hear you. My ears were ringing leaving.
Oh, man. David Biller, who we'll talk to later, got there. Oh, I got to see when he texted me. All right. So he was in line forever. His wife was in line forever. She got tickets. He didn't. He was nice to her all day. She let him go. However, he had to show up early yesterday. He was there at like 11 in the morning, and he was 10th in line to get in. He got a spot right up against the barrier, dead center.
He was underneath the mic stand that Dave was using.
Right.
The first person you see is Dave's head. I was looking at it all night. It's like, I can't believe he's just standing right there.
All right, hold on. Cerulli, Mike Cerulli from News 8. I was hanging with him last night. And his boss, he's up right now. He's sending me some stuff. I'm telling him to call in.
I feel like those shows like small venue shows are becoming very popular now because it's reminding people what rock is truly about.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just about getting together, having a great time. You don't need a whole ton of crazy lighting production and everything. You need a band that rocks
and just knows what they're doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
A band that shows up, you know, kicks butt and leaves, you know?
Yeah. I saw the energy that the band had and was emitting. And I thought, wow, 40 years ago, Dave Grohl was used to being behind the drum kit behind Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
As fans are running on stage, jumping into the audience. People like just throwing stuff and them smashing their guitars.
Absolute chaos and carnage.
He still has that energy, but instead of putting it into, let's just knock the drum set over, it's like, we're going to put it all into the performance.
Yeah.
It was really quite something. Really something.
Very special show.
Mm-hmm.
And they appreciated, I mean, Dave, you mentioned he spoke a little bit in between some of the songs. Most of the time it was like, hey, we don't get to do stuff like this all the time. This is special for us, too. Like, being here on stage at a club, we love this.
This is towards the beginning of the show here.
For you guys being here, your commitment to saving that f***ing lie that I watched something over. I watched this show. I don't give a who was playing. I would never say that f***ing lie. I would be on YouTube the next morning like, so thank you all for being here. I'll tell you what we're doing. We're playing places that, to be perfectly honest, feel like a lot more comfortable than those other places that we play sometimes. So, believe me, I'm not wishing away the stadium, but this is pretty sick ass.
What's also cool is that from the stage, when you're looking out, so you see this sea of people, happy faces, but you look up. And there's the VIP box, and he had all of his people in the VIP box. But right along the border of that box are some of the legends who have played there. And overlooking Dave and the band all night is a larger-than-life size Mick Jagger with his face looking like, impress me. And I'm sure if Mick was there, he would have been very impressed last night. It sounds like these Fighters last night at Toad's Place. The energy, they just never slowed down. And, you know, everyone is generally in a good mood when they're going into a concert, but you're in a much better mood when you know you're a part of history. This is something that doesn't happen every day. It's a special treat. You somehow got lucky enough to be part of it. And then there you are. You're standing, you know, 5 feet away from Dave Grohl. And this guy on the phone right now was literally 5 feet away from Dave Grohl.
He might have been closer.
Might have been closer. David Biller. Biller and Associates, Public Insurance Adjusters. Hey.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, you sound great, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Listen, let's just first start with this. It was an amazing time. But my ears are ringing. I am still dehydrated. So talking loud, rambling, stop me.
Yeah, well, you
have a great time.
You have a great story. I mean, you're going about your day on Monday, and all of a sudden, did you see it on our Facebook, or did you hear Lappy announce it?
No, I saw it on your Facebook.
So you see it
up in my feed.
Boom, you drop what you're doing. You go right to Toad's. Your wife, Lauren, goes to Toad's. She gets she was like 80-something, right, in line?
No, she was a little deeper than that. I think her number was 269. She rolled in maybe around 3:30, 20 after 3. I got there about 10, 15 minutes later, and that made the difference. It was already too late for me.
Right. What was your number?
I was right around 500.
Okay.
In line.
Yeah, they cut it off at 420, which is a pretty cool. Pretty cool. Cutting off at 420.
Yeah, I was close enough to watch them cut it off. That hurts. I'd rather it be deeper than that. That was pain.
We talked to a few people. We talked to one person. They closed the door. Like, they were four people away from the door being closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I'd rather miss by a lot than that.
Right. So your wife gets the tickets. You can only buy two, yep. So she had two tickets. You had to be nice to her from then on, right?
And then, I'd like to think I'm always nice, but yeah.
Yes, that's
nice.
What I meant. You were extra nice on top of your already nice persona. And then you get there. What time did you text me yesterday? You arrive at Toad's to get in line. It was like 11 a.m. Was it noon?
So it was actually earlier. It was probably closer to 10 a.m. Lauren texted me, and she said, I saw it on the news. They slept out overnight. They're already lined up. Go down as soon as you can. So
unbelievable.
So my appointments yesterday were primarily on the phone, which I was able to do from the alley next to Toad's, thankfully. But, you know, when I got there, what I realized was the camera angle they showed at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning of people standing in line was a very narrow camera angle. So I was like number 10. There was no hurry at that point. But it really built after that, and you got to watch it build over the course of the day, which was very cool.
Yeah, so I got the text from you at 10:37 a.m. I'm like, Vaughn, this dude's committed. They're not opening the doors until 6 p.m.
I walked in front of Toad's at 6:03, and I didn't even see him. He was already inside there like, yeah, this guy's been here all day. You're going in.
Yeah. So I don't want to do the math. So 10 to like 8 before he comes on.
It's a lot of waiting.
So 8, 9, you know, you're looking at almost 10 hours of just waiting before the show, which was 3 hours. So that's commitment.
Yeah, but you know what? It was a lot of fun outside. I don't know if you've talked to a few people, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, standing in line, meeting people, talking to people all day. It was all part of the experience. Like, it made yesterday and last night and the last couple of days really something special. It really did.
I love every part of what they did and how they did it, because it forced you to go back. Now, we're all of the age group that we experienced waiting in line to buy tickets and then to get into the club. But to do it that way forces people to just get out of their phones, stop and talk to who's next to you, and start bonding with people who have similar interests. And it was really that bringing that community together, doing it that way.
It was
very cool.
Awesome. Awesome feeling.
Ticket price, like everything about this was great.
Listen, the tickets were $30. The t-shirts were $20. It was fantastic. You know, two things really struck me. One, obviously, the old school vibe that you just talked about. But we, as you said, we were super close. I mean, I could reach out and touch the microphone if I was allowed to. And being that close, you realize how hard those guys were working last night. I mean, they went for almost 3 hours, and I don't know how he keeps his voice. I really don't.
I heard that scream, like, first song in. I'm like, how is he going to keep doing this?
Out of the gate, on the stage, screaming like a madman. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, they're, you know, pouring the water, sweating, working hard. I mean, they went nonstop. You don't see that a lot. You know, there was some, obviously, and they were really entertaining. You know what I mean? They had fun with each other. They talked. They involved the crowd. I think they enjoyed that atmosphere last night as well.
Definitely. I saw a lot of smiles on stage among everybody.
Yeah, and they're tight. They're just like a well-built clock. Like, that band is so tight.
Listen, Dave Grohl, obviously, but how about that drummer?
That was the happiest I think I saw, that he did like a little drum solo, and I was watching him, but then I was sort of looking at everybody else on stage because they were all facing the drum set, and they're just looking at each other like, this is our guy.
Yeah, yeah.
This is our guy.
Yeah.
They were ecstatic about how it was going.
They got the right guy.
Yeah.
No offense to the other guy, but was the band that they switched?
Nine Inch Nails. Yeah.
Yeah, I was having that conversation with someone last night. I was like, no, it's not Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that drummer also left, so it was like all at once, and there was a lot of rumors.
Yeah.
So it was Elon Rubin from Nine Inch Nails came into the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
And Josh Freese swapped.
He lost himself a few times, so much so in his solos. I swear that I saw his eyes roll back in his head as he was looking up at the ceiling. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Like a shark.
Oh, man. But what a great time. What an absolute great time from the beginning to the end. And listen, a great crowd. Everybody, you know, kumbaya, happy-go-lucky.
Yes.
So no problems, which is great. And Toads really did a fantastic job. What a smooth process, all 2 days and all the way through the end of the night.
Absolutely.
That's the other thing. Like, when's the last time they had not just a sellout, but, you know, where you have another 500 people show up hoping to get in, and you still managed it perfectly outside, inside. You didn't have to wait for a beer, by the way. I thought, oh, this is going to be a nightmare. And you could just walk up to any bar and get a beer. That's good for you, Brian.
It was awesome.
Brian, the owner. I saw him upstairs. I was up in, like, Jimmy's. Jimmy had, like, a private thing before the show. And I'm looking. I'm like, all right, this is Brian's office. And I see him poke his head out, like a little, like, you know, meerkat. He just poked his head out. And I'm like, hey, Brian. And he went right back in.
No, nope, not here.
No. Don't even talk to me.
I wouldn't know that part. At my age, I stay away from the bars at a long night because, you know, I can't stay too hydrated. I'll be running to the bathroom all night. So
yeah, right. No, you had to plan. You have to plan accordingly. You can't drink a lot of water or a lot of beer.
Nope.
If you're going to be in that spot, dead center front, right up against the barrier all night.
I think I had my last fluid around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
If anything after this, I'm pushing it. So.
So when they open the doors, you can't even go to the men's room because you'll lose your spot.
So we had a plan, right? So we were going to go in, and first of all, there was no mad rush for us, believe it or not, because they kind of had a trickle way of letting people in. You had to get one band and another band. So it was almost one at a time going in. And so there was not this mad dash. We had a plan, right? We're going to go in. Lauren was going to go get some T-shirts and a poster, and I was going to beeline to the stage. So she gets in, you know, 5 seconds in front of me. I walk in and I'm looking for Lauren. She's not at the poster. I think she's lost, but she was the one that actually made it to the stage. So all bets were off once the doors open.
Yeah, smart. What a great experience. And like Jimmy said, he'll be on in 20 minutes. It's, you know, we'll all remember this 30 years from now.
100%.
People last night were talking about the Stones. You know, 10, 20 years from now, people will talk about the Foo Fighters at Toads. It was great. It was the best experience I've had at a concert, bar none ever.
Yeah, no doubt. David, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right. While David was in line, I'm texting him stuff about insurance because I'm closing on a house. I'm like, you could do it. You're just standing there.
I have my hydration schedule in front of me right now.
Boston John was at the other big show in Connecticut last
Huge
night.
Show.
Yeah, Alice Cooper, Judas Priest at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. Hey.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Oh, you sound like you had a good time.
Yeah, I did. I was drinking like it was 1988 And so
you didn't recover like it, though.
John, you drink like that every day.
Oh, no, I went above.
Oh, like you're 1988.
Yeah, it was an excellent show. Thank you, Jimmy Coplick, for losing the prop bet so I could go to this show.
Oh, this is the one. Oh, great.
That was a Super Bowl cash-in.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, what's really cool, too, is that venue is awesome. Their toilets are great because I hurled in it at least twice during the course of the show last night.
You don't have to drink that much, by the way. Do you remember any of the show, or then I got to go?
I do remember the toilet.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right.
Sean.
Chaz and AJ.
You want to talk about a once in a blue moon concert last night in New Haven? The moon was very blue. Coplick, Live Nation on the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
What'd you think?
Well, I'm a little tired, I'll say that.
Yes.
But I thought it was so powerful. Obviously we've both seen so many concerts in our lives. And when you see an arena band, and I call them an arena band, but they're really a stadium band because they sold out two Citi Fields last year. When they get on a stage, a club that has 900 people in front of it, and they come out with the same power that they do when they play a stadium, it just knocks you out. It's like that Bose speaker commercial.
That's right, where it blows the guy back.
It blows the guy back, and his hair goes back, and he goes back on the chair. And I felt that last night. I felt that power come from the stage last night, and I felt it before, but I can probably count the number of times I felt that on two hands, and I've probably been to 10 to 15,000 concerts, and that power is in my top 10 from last night.
Yeah, they came out at 10 or 11, and it was a perfect mix. And then they kept turning their guitars up. Dave turned his guitar up, and then the next guy turns. And before you know, I was being assaulted by guitars, and I loved it.
That's how I felt. I felt exactly how I felt. I saw Ruth go flying across the room at one point.
That was her screaming. She was flying across the room for the power of the guitars. Woo! There she goes.
See ya.
Did she make it in today?
Yeah.
I'm here. Good morning.
Good to see you. That's good. No, it wasn't a late evening. It was, it ended by 11, and so that was good. 2.5 hours. I didn't count how many songs were on that set list.
I think 26 or 7.
Really?
I counted this morning, and now I forgot.
Well, that's because you're tired.
Yeah.
I think it was 28 if you include the little Purple Rain interlude that they did.
Yeah, I have 27, so 28.
And it was all the songs you wanted to hear, and it was something that, as I said to some people waiting online, I said, listen, I remember the Rolling Stones 36 years ago like it happened yesterday. 36 years from now, in 2061, you will remember tonight. Enjoy yourself. You will remember it. And there are so many times you have no memory of anything, But when you have a memory that lasts over 30 years, treasure it. That's all I say. Treasure it. And the 900 people in there last night, they will remember this night, the last night forever.
Everything this band did was all fan driven. Like to have people, you know, to give that announcement and then have them show up at the venue to wait in line. Only a real super fan is going to do that. And then you had to show up early yesterday to get in line to get close to the stage. So all those people that were down on the floor and up close, they were people who were super fans. And this is who you want to play for. And he could have easily charged $100 or more, and everyone still would have felt like, deal.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And he charged $30, and the shirts were $20,
and the posters were $20.
Right, like that was everything was old school. Even the prices.
And also, he did 28 songs when we had the Stones, and I'm not taking anything away from the Stones, but they did 12 songs. The Stones, they did a concert set last night.
But the Stones paid you, Jimmy.
That's true. I apologize, Mick. I shouldn't have said that.
They played and paid you.
That should be the memory I have for 36 years.
That's right.
$10,000 check.
What was it,
$10,000.
$10,000.
In 1989.
From the Stones. Like, thank you for letting us play here on your birthday.
Really? And if there was a camera, if I had a cell phone at that point in 1989, I would have loved to have taken a picture.
Wow.
Of the chair.
Right.
But getting back to last night,
yes,
which is really more immediate, the band got there in the afternoon, did a sound check. Then they went down to the dressing room. So I got there about 4:30, something like that. They had done their sound check already. And I didn't want them to leave because, God forbid, they leave. I always fear they might never come back. I don't know. So I went down to the road manager and I said, what's your plans till the showtime? Oh, we're staying here. I said, thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Right.
So the band stayed the whole time, which was really, really nice.
That's cool.
They had that place wired for audio recording and video recording. There were cameras everywhere, microphones everywhere. I wouldn't be surprised if that night becomes part of a documentary.
I actually said to somebody that was with the band, it would be really good to put what Bob Dylan once put together, sort of a basement tapes of the four shows they played, and put that out as a live album from clubs. It would really be really cool for them to put something like that out, because the fans would love that. And remember, they only did four clubs, two on the West Coast, one in D.C., and one up here in New Haven. And that's it. Now it's done. I don't believe they're doing any more club dates.
Yeah, their Instagram this morning looks like they're going out to Japan.
Yep, and this is probably the set they're going to play in Japan, I would guess.
Right. That set was so solid.
It was.
Really, I'd be surprised if they veered from that. It was so great. A lot of great new songs. Yeah, I was thinking maybe they like filmed the recording of their new album, and then the clubs, and then the stadiums, and then they cut that all down to like, here's the whole process of making an album, getting the band ready for a tour, and then here's the tour.
Breaking in our new drummer, all that.
Yeah, yeah. I would line up to buy that one in a second.
He sure loved that drummer, didn't he? Kept pointing at him and putting thumbs up at how much he loved the new drummer.
That dude had a small set. It was like a four-piece. He made it sound like a Neil Peart set.
Oh,
like, he
God.
Was pounding the hell out. That set this morning is like, what the hell happened to me last night?
And getting a thumbs up from Dave Grohl, who was a great drummer himself.
That's right.
That really means something.
Right. Great point. Jimmy Coplick found we're talking about the Foo Fighters last night. I was lucky enough to go up there. Jimmy had a little private party before the event in the Lily Pad, which I've heard of the Lily Pad at Toad's Place. I've never been in it before, so thank you for that.
Yeah, it's a really nice room that Brian put together upstairs. It used to be a storage area back in the old days, and he put a little bar in there and a lot of tables in there.
Like a little mini club.
Yeah, it's a mini club, but it seats about 100 people. And what was, you know, we had Sally's Pizza, Pepe's Pizza, open bar.
You know, it's funny. You could tell how old you are when you key in on something. I walked up and I saw private bathrooms. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy's like, Pepe's, open bar. I'm like, bathroom.
Well, that's not quite what you said. What you said is, can I come up here during the show in case I have to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Like, nice.
And of course you could.
Yeah, that was great. I got a chance to meet your daughter. And by the way, she looks so young. I said, so are you going to get into the music business? She looks like she's about to graduate, like get her master's. She's like, she looks like she's about to get her master's, you know, and like of that age. And I'm like, so what, you know, basically, are you going to get into music? She's like, no, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, oh, what are you going to do? I'm like, basically saying, what are you going to do when you grow up?
What are your life plans?
Right. She has like 20-year-old children. Yes. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I have my daughter's 48 years old, so.
Wowie.
Yeah, so, you know, and my son's 44. I got two grandchildren, 20, and a granddaughter, 16, and I'm only 40. I can't figure out how,
how did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I tell you, I wasn't the oldest person there. I saw someone downstairs. She was on crutches and had gray hair. I have gray hair, but she had gray hair. I bet she was older than me. I love going to concerts where I'm not the oldest person there anymore. That's why I was at Outlaw Fest last Saturday. I had Willie Nelson there. And I had Neil Young there. I mean, excuse me, I had Bob Dylan there. So I wasn't the oldest person there.
Right, you felt young. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that last night was, you know, I called it the Mount Rushmore. I'd like to say Toe's Place has a Mount Rushmore. Billy Joel played there in 1980. John Bon Jovi played there in 1992. Bob Dylan in 1990. Rolling Stones in 1989. And now we have the Foo Fighters in 2025.
It's very cool. I was at one spot, stage right, and I could see over the stage, over the crowd, up to the VIP booth, and right along the VIP booth border is that Mount Rushmore of rock, those pictures of these greats who have played there, and larger than life Rolling Stones right in the center of that, with Mick Jagger kind of looking towards the stage saying, impress me. You know what I mean? He's got that Mick Jagger look on his face, and it was just, you know, it was very cool. And by the way, when you walked in, did you hear that? I'm sure you heard the crowd go bananas for you.
I turned to the person behind me and said, what are they doing? They said, they're cheering for you.
That's right.
I said, well, that shows my gray hair really shows out. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe that. I was shocked. Thank you, everybody. I was very shocked and appreciative.
That was a real warm welcome, and there was a lot of love for you there. And when I was outside Alice Cooper and Judas Priest, people were saying, thank you. Tell Jimmy we said thank you. How many more years do you think he's going to do it? Is he going to keep doing it? And I'm like, he's very happy where he is right now. So
I really
fingers
am.
Crossed.
I do love what I do. I wouldn't do it otherwise. I'd retire and sit on my butt and do nothing, which I certainly don't want to do.
No, who wants to do that? No, we need Jimmy here. So, Jimmy, thank you for a great night. And,
my pleasure. Love to Jennifer. She looked great last night.
Thank
you,
brother.
I have no idea why she's with you. She's
I don't either.
Better looking than you.
I don't either.
But you must have a great personality.
I'll ask her tomorrow.
Don't ask her. She might realize what's going on and leave you. So I wouldn't
right.
ask her. Just take it as it is.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow at this time.
Yep, you got it.
Thank you, Jimmy Koplik, everybody.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.